Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from Luke chapter 18. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. This is the text. In the first part of our gospel reading, we hear words of Jesus that would be very confusing if we didn't have the rest of the gospel as context. In the parable of the unrighteous judge, the character that corresponds to God is the unrighteous judge, only because he is a negative example. God is not an unrighteous judge. Now, in the parable, the judge does not fear God. He has no respect for God's will and law. Likewise, he has no respect for people. Keeping your honor and not suffering shame was a really big deal in the ancient world. This judge, it seems, is not concerned if people are brought to shame. He has no respect for them. He has no respect for real justice. The woman, the widow, keeps coming to him begging, "Give me justice against my adversary." He refused again and again. But in order to make her be quiet, to make her quit bothering him, he gives her justice. He justifies her. Now, Jesus is not setting up a model for how we should act. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray and how to approach God. This is following up what he's already taught them. In Luke 11, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he gives them the Lord's Prayer. And then he tells them a parable about a friend who comes to your door at midnight asking to borrow 3 loaves of bread because a visitor has arrived on a journey and it would be very shameful for him to have no food to offer him, and he didn't have any food at his house. And Jesus says, "You say, 'My children and I are already in bed. I can't get up and get you anything.'" But he keeps knocking. "Well, you will not get up," Jesus says, "and get the bread for him because he's your friend. But you will get up and give him what he needs so that he will quit bothering you." This is where Jesus says, "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" When Jesus teaches about prayer, I mean, check out the Lord's Prayer. Daily bread is the only physical comfort. But don't be afraid to ask for more. Open your catechism. See the things Luther says are part of daily bread. We all learned it. Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. You like giving good gifts to your children. So does your Father in heaven. But you don't give your children everything they ask for, and for good reason. And neither does your Father in heaven. And unlike a sinful father like me, your Father in heaven always knows exactly what good things you need and exactly what obstacles and challenges you need so that he may give justice to his elect. That's what this is all about. How do you approach God to be justified to be righteous in his sight. Jesus says, be persistent. Just like the woman who kept bothering the judge. And know that he will answer you speedily. Immediately. Right away. And know what you're asking for. When you approach God, you're not just praying for stuff. And we're not just praying for ease and comfort. I mean, look at the Lord's Prayer. We pray that God's name remains holy among us. We pray that God's kingdom would come. We pray that forgiveness would come. That's really at the heart of the prayer. We pray that temptation would go away. We pray that evil would go away. The woman kept bothering the unrighteous judge. She wanted justice. She wants justification. She wants to be declared righteous. She has an adversary accusing her. This is our story. Satan accuses you again and again that you have broken God's law. And he knows that you have broken God's law because he tempted you to do it in the first place. There is only one who has the authority to justify you, to declare you to be righteous, to be not guilty. Jesus says, if an unrighteous judge who does not fear God or respect man, if he will grant justice to a widow because she is bothering him, how much more will your Father in heaven cover you with his mercy and grace? Will not God give justice, righteousness to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Of course he will, and it will be immediate. There's no waiting around to see if you're worthy to receive this or not, because he knows that you're not worthy to receive it. He gives it to you anyway. We have a righteous judge. We have a justifying judge. We have a judge who has been described again and again as being slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He showers his grace upon you. But don't look at God's grace as being a commodity. Grace is not a substance that we catch in our cups, and when we're filled up enough, then we're ready for heaven. That's not what grace is. Grace is not a substance that you receive from God. Grace is the reality that God is kindly, benevolently, graciously disposed towards you. God has a loving opinion of you that is a much higher opinion than you deserve for him to have. This is called mercy, compassion. We gather to hear God's word and receive his sacraments, which are the means of grace, as we have learned. It is through these means that God proclaims his grace to you, bestows his grace upon you. I'm privileged to participate in the body and blood of Christ 3 times each weekend. What a joy that is. But that doesn't mean that I have 3 times as much grace as any of you. Grace is not a substance. In his word and sacraments, his friendly, kind, benevolent, loving disposition towards you is preached and proclaimed and is made obvious. That's the great thing in baptism. God takes his word of promise of forgiveness and hits you in the face with it. There is no denying that the word and water are applied. It's made obvious. God wants his promise to be heard, to be made obvious. He is bestowing mercy on you. He has promised, as the righteous judge, that you are justified through the blood of his Son. You are declared righteous in his sight because of what Christ has done for you. You are in Christ and have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. This grace has created faith in you. has saved you, has caused you to trust in this promise of grace, which is why we come back again and again to hear this word. Not to get more grace, but to hear about how God is disposed toward you. Because that grace found in God's word, that's what's caused you to believe. You have been saved by grace, through faith, apart from works. God's word has caused you to believe, and he has restored you to a right relationship with him. He has regenerated you. He has made you alive. This is the work of the righteous judge. And what he does speedily, as Jesus says, immediately. And he has a loving opinion about you. And he has promised that he will hear your prayer. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.